Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
What we're trying to do with this coming year, and this will be more revealed over time as we get into the vision and our vision here in this house, but establishing a pathway where people are trained and equipped well. And so that first and foremost place is foundations. When a person comes into the house of God, when they get saved, even if they've been saved for 5 years or less, we want to make sure that they know why they believe what they believe, what the Bible says, so that there's not questions, them going 5-6 years still wondering what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Because whenever you're pastoring, many times you're hitting different topics, but you can't hit every topic all the time. And so unless they're catching it on a time that they're there, we want to make sure that they're getting the basics. You know, why do I need to get sin out of my life? Why does Jesus need to be the Lord of my life, the lordship of him in my life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, water baptism, tithes, offerings, worship, all of these things that are the basic fundamentals of why we do what we do. And so in some of those things, we'll be also talking about how Kings also incorporate certain things into their DNA. So we want to make sure that everybody is equipped. And of course, there will be other tiers of things that happen as well as we begin to reveal the vision for this year. But this is the fundamental, and we didn't want to waste any time. We wanted to get right into it and get the ball rolling this year, because we have a lot we're going to do. As Pastor Brad said, we're going to be zealous for the Lord. We are going to have a fire, and we are going to get things done this year. So we've got to get things started. It's January 6th, 5th, whatever it is. Let's go. Okay. Put it on.
Praise God. Just lift your hands. If you're able to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Shito romondo revisti prambacam brevisti perugondo rabande diriste prabaco soprevisti robobo romongore diristi to pronda rabande diristi lem roboroste keda. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your help. Thank you. You're our comforter. You're our guide. You are our leader. We thank you that you lead and guide us into all truth. We thank you for not just information, Lord, but revelation in our spirits, Lord. We thank you. We open up now. We say, teach us, Holy Spirit. Instruct us tonight. Help us to learn and to know your word and have a solid foundation in you, Lord, that is unshakable in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Father, we thank you for this night. Thank you for every heart, even those that will listen afterwards. We thank you, Lord, that the word permeates our hearts and minds, Lord, saturates us. Hallelujah. And that by revelation, Lord, we operate in a greater dimension of glory than we've ever known. For your glory, in Jesus' powerful name, amen and amen. Praise God. Pastor Randy, are we going to do this like a open, so if someone would have a question during this, is that okay, or do we?
Why don't we say questions to the end?
Okay. Whatever you want. Yeah. You might ask a question on something. But if you have, while we're teaching tonight and ministering in the Word, if something comes in your heart or mind at the end, just say, "Hey, I've got a question about that." And I'll try not to go too long tonight. I figure 10:30 will be plenty of time for me. First, tonight we're going to talk about, first of all, the doctrine of sin is the first thing we're going to discuss. But I just want to, before I even get into this, I would first of all put an emphasis on the Word of God. In other words, the validity of the Word of God. Because today a lot of people say, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but men wrote the Bible, you know, and men are fallible. Men can make, well, the Word of God is infallible. It is immutable. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? The word was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon men and women. Okay, so you have to get that as your first thing. So when someone says, well, that word, I mean, it's not subject to any argument. It's the solid foundation. So everything we base, the foundational truths that we're going to talk about, is based entirely in the Word of God. So get that in your spirit first and foremost, that the Word of God is immutable. So whatever, you know, I've had people before, I was talking to Lisa, and I said, yeah, I've had people come up to me before, and they'll share some doctrine with me, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but the conversation usually goes this way. Well, my pastor told me, or well, I heard, and I'm like, well, how do you establish that as truth? So everything that we believe, we have to believe it, not because Bob or Jim or Mary said so, but because I know so. So that's why I prayed before we started that the revelation of God's word would get into our spirits, and that would become a foundation. What the Bible said, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So when we study the word of God and we establish, it's a building block. That's what these are, just foundational truths that the Bible says that you may be rooted and built up in him. Well, who is the one we're built up in? It's in Christ. Paul said, I didn't build on another man's foundation. So when you think about these are foundational truths. Why is it so important to know? Not only for you, you say, well, I'm not going to preach the gospel. You're going to share it with someone else. And someone say, well, how do you know? Where do you validate that truth? You could take them straight to the word, and you could tell them with an assurity why you believe what you believe. That's the most important thing as a Christian. Know why you believe what you believe, not just because someone else said so. Amen? If you have your Bibles, let's go over to Genesis real quick. And we're going to start in the beginning with the creation of man. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. If you want to jump down to Genesis 1:26. I went too far. There we go. And the Bible says, and God said, listen to this, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Say that, all the earth. That's what we were created for. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Any of you girls got creeps around you? You got authority over them right there. The Bible says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. So what we see is the creation of man. Before this, we see the creation of everything. God made the earth in all of its fullness, made a place, a home for man, and then he made man and placed him in the garden to have dominion. So this is what God's intention was for us, right? Was to rule and to reign. Or the Bible says, of his kingdom there shall be no end. It's about the king and his dominion. That's where we're made in his likeness. He's made us kings and priests, the word of God says. So that was the initial plan that God had. And God wasn't nervous. God wasn't like, oops, these guys really screwed up here. But we're going to talk about the fall of man and how that happened. And many of you say, well, I read this stuff when I was in preschool or whatever, but we're just going to hit on it, and hopefully you'll get something else out of it or see a revelation of it like you've never seen before. Amen? So God prepared a place for mankind to have to rule and to have dominion. God made man and woman as, listen to this part, he made them as free, moral free will agents. What's that mean? God didn't make us robots. There was something unique about man. Even the angels say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visited him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. That doesn't mean lower in authority. It means lower because the angels have great power. But God made, there's something about mankind and what God made, who he has made us to be as it originates. So here we have mankind. Now here's, if you study the garden, the only rule that man, that God gave man was what? Out of every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, surely you cannot eat. And the day you eat of, you shall surely die, right? Real simple instructions. And I don't know how long man was there before when all this transpires. I don't know how long the serpent was, you know, bending the ear, trying to get him convinced that God didn't mean what he said, and God, and there was another alternative plan, as some people like to think, when it comes to the, even the word of God. But I look at it, why were there two trees there? Because of the element of choice. The Bible says what? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to serve God. I get to serve God. What an awesome thought. You just think about that, that you are free. Brother Larry, you've got the choice. God doesn't bend your arm and say, you'll serve me or else. He gives you the choice, and that's what the garden was all about. Even in the midst of this, like I said, the Bible tells us that from the foundations of the earth, Christ was slain. So we know that God had a solution before there was ever a problem. He already knew through foreknowledge, through foresight. He already saw it. But think about the plan that he had for us. He had us, we had a decision to make there. What are you going to choose? And here's the devil. And the key thing, that's why I opened up with the validity of God's word. To take God's word, take it to the bank. Take it to the bank every time. You know what that means? That means you can bank on it. It will not fail. God's word will not fail, right? The Bible says, though heaven and earth pass away, my word will remain. So when you think of what God said here, simple instruction, but along comes a serpent. And he says what? Hath God said, right? If you watch the, and I think about it, you know what repentance means? What did you tell your kids when they started messing up? You ever hear this phrase? Straighten up. You ever hear that, Adina? Austin? Straighten up. What does that mean? It means that the enemy comes in, he causes twisting, a bending of what should be straight and right. The Bible says the path is straight is the path. Narrow is the way, right? That leads to everlasting life. That's what even repentance means, to straighten out. The enemy, when he comes in, he causes a twisting. He wants to twist the word to work in his advantage. And that's what he did in this situation, because he said, and even Eve got it wrong when she repeated it back to him. God told them, said, you shall not eat of the fruit. In the day you eat of, you shall surely die. She said, we can't even touch it. He didn't say anything about touching it. But there was a twisting. And he said, well, wait a second. The devil's telling you, they've got direct access to the Father. How many times do we have direct access to the word and we'll believe the doctor's report? Ouch and amen. Or we'll believe the negative report. When we've got the, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. So we have to rely on the word of God and the truth of that word, that it is, again, it's immutable. The first Adam was highly intellectual. You know, I thought about this today. I was just meditating on this. Adam wasn't stupid. I think sometimes we look at Adam and think he was a Neanderthal. Eve, make me burger, you know. He wasn't an idiot. And how do I know that? Because the Bible says, God said, Adam, you name the animals. And God said, whatever Adam named him, that's what they'll be. So that's a highly intellectual person. I don't know where he came up with hippopotamus, but hey, that's on him. But God said it was good. So he was very, this wasn't someone who was stupid or someone who could be easily persuaded. So I look at Adam, and even, I don't want to think that way, because there was no sin. There was no fall. Nothing had been affected. So they were made in the image of God after his likeness. So I want you to see that before you see the pre-fall. Why is that so important? Because I believe what we were supposed to be, we shall be. And if you look at it, what tree did they eat of? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? But there's a scripture in Revelation that says one day we're going to get to eat of the tree of life. That tree, the other tree, the tree that Adam and Eve probably should have been eating from instead of that other tree. But thank God they didn't eat of it in their fallen state. But let's continue. You have anything, Pastor Mary? Man was innocent. God gave specific instructions and commandment. The enemy's, now listen to this, the enemy's number one goal is to get mankind to doubt or disbelieve God's word. The word to sin means is get it spelled out here. It's, if you want to write it down, it's H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A, hamartia. That's what the Greek word is. And what that means is it means to miss the mark or to err. That sounds kind of light when it comes to sin, but how many, you can, if I'm shooting at 1,000 yards, Brother Brian, and I miss it by a fraction, it could be a mile off by the time it gets to the target, right? And that's to miss the mark. That's what it means. And when we sin, when we fall, although the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it means to miss the mark. It means what God's law and what his commandment is that he's given us or his instructions. How many ever disobeyed the Lord when he told you to do something? Every hand's up in the house. That's sin. That's hermatia. That's the hermartia, to miss the mark. Turn over real quick to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Are you there? Man was innocent, and God gave instruction and commandment. So that, like I said, it means to miss the mark. Galatians chapter 3, 24. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ that we might be justified by faith. And I like that. And Paul talks about it as well. He talks about how that the law was, he said, the law was not meant for evil. I mean, sometimes we look at rules and regulations as like they're a bad thing. You know, like that's somebody just trying to control me. It was actually, it was boundaries or guidelines for God to keep us in order, to keep us. God never wanted to withhold anything from mankind. And we see the end of it. Whenever Adam and Eve took of the tree and ate of it, the Bible says immediately their eyes were opened and they knew good and evil. What's the first thing they did? They went and hid. And think about that. The thing that the enemy convinced them they couldn't live without and that God told them they needed, they partook of it, and the next thing you know, they're hiding in the bushes and covering themselves with bushes. Why is that? Because of the fall of man, the disobedience that they had. Just a simple, I think, what God had for them, the plan, how they got off course, and how the enemy, the Bible says the enemy is, he's been around for a long time. You know, that's one thing. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. If you watch the enemy's operation, that's what I said in this scripture, you'll see how the enemy works. If he can just get you to, if I can get you to believe a half-truth, well, half-truth is just a lie. It's no more the truth than a whole lie. Partial truth is not, you know, except what will they tell you when you go to a court? They raise your hand. I promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, right? Well, if I tell a half truth, man, it's hot in here. Got the fire above me. If I tell a half truth, then it might be exactly that. It might be true, but I'm not divulging the full information. And the enemy knew that. And they bought into it. And the thing I look at most importantly about this in the fall of man is the separation from the Father. That's the key thing. And how many people, how many times in your life have you backslidden? You've missed it. You've sinned. Is church the first place you want to run to? You want to call your pastor up and say, hey, pastor, I messed up last night. Usually he's calling you saying, hey, I ain't seen you in a couple Sundays. What's going on? And why I'm telling you that is, don't, you know, when you miss it, don't run from your help. Run to your help. He's your help. He's not, the thing about it, you look in the garden, when Adam and Eve, the first thing that came upon them was shame. They were clothed with the glory of God. They were, I would venture to say, they were a mirror image of God in the earth. They were his picture in the earth. So the first thing that did, that glory is removed because they sinned. They now had the knowledge of good and evil, and they felt shame. They knew that they were naked. God didn't go there saying, oh, my goodness. And, you know, and I think about even how God dealt with the fall of man. Like I said, he didn't deal like he was in shock. But he asked him, he said, where are you? I love that part of it, too. He was looking for them. So where are you? Is it because he didn't know where they were at? They were good at hide and seek and God just couldn't get up with the game? No, they were hiding from the presence of God and his glory. And God wanted fellowship with man. God's not afraid of sin. I want you to know that. There's not one sin you can commit that will separate you from God that God won't bring and redeem you, okay? Get that in your, God loves you. God cares about you. Wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, just know that. Because the enemy will try to work shame in your life, embarrassment. How many times the enemy reminds you of something you did 10 years ago? He said, Lord, I repented of that. Good. I like what Brother Jesse says. He says, what does he say? Admit it. Quit it and forget it when it deals with sin. And that's in this area. When it, God never wanted man to be ashamed. What did he do? He went and got an animal and killed the animal and clothed them with that animal so that he could take away their shame, even but for a moment. Even if that skin of the animal, it wasn't going to last that long, but it was a covering. You know, the Bible says, that when you cover your brother, you know, you don't go around. What did Ham, Shem, and Japheth? They went and exposed their father, right? When he was naked in the tent. Noah, when he got drunk. That's a whole other story. But he exposed them. But one brother, the other brothers came in and covered him. God wants to cover you in every area. And I think about the enemy. What the enemy? He's so diabolical in bringing shame on the people to make you feel less than. He knows who you're called to be. And he's afraid you'll get there. He's afraid you'll realize who God's called you to be, who he's made you to be, what your purpose was in the earth. He knew it. Now, who is the God of the earth now? Satan. The Bible says he's the God of this world. But Christ has come that we could be reinstated in our authority as believers. Amen? All right, where are we at? Galatians? We got there. Galatians 3, did I say it? 3:24. Hallelujah. I'm in Genesis. Or did I already read that? I'm sorry. I thought I did, yeah. Go over to Romans chapter 7. Listen to this when it comes to sin. This is a good phrase. What you yield yourself to becomes your master. That's an ouch, too. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. But if you yield yourself over to those things, then that becomes your master. Sin, that's the whole thing. The devil wants to be your master. The Bible, Jesus told the disciples, he told them, he said, he even told the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil. He said, your God is your father or the devil is your father. So the devil, really, that's all his goal is to rule and reign in our lives. All right, let's go to Romans. Hallelujah. Give me one second. Somebody said, hurry up, Brother Don, it's snowing. Just kidding. All right. Romans chapter 7. This is the NIV. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. One place Paul said that the law was my schoolmaster, bringing me. So the law is important. The law of God, many times, if you study, how many of you guys took Pastor Miranda's Old Testament when you guys went through all the laws? And she made you memorize them. You still remember them, don't you, brother? Man, you talk about a... When I read that book, sometimes I'm thinking, yeah, the letter of the law killeth. But the Bible says the Spirit gives life. The law was not made to be an entrapment, to be a snare, to be just our downsetting. The law basically revealed the heart of man, because no man could keep the law. That's why Christ had to come, which we'll get into that here shortly about how salvation came. Listen to this. There's two types of sin. If you want to write it down, you can. Trespass and iniquities. A trespass is crossing forbidden lines or borders that God has set up, boundaries. That's a trespass. Anybody get trespass on your property? That's an idea. There's a border saying don't go there. Don't cross that line. Don't go over it. Anybody ever been warned that way? The Lord said, don't go there. Somebody invited you out and said, the Lord said, nope, don't go. He's trying to warn you. He's trying to set a boundary for you because he knows what's on the other side of it. It leads to sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Where sin is manifest is when we're drawn away or enticed, even the Bible says. See, the devil, Adam and Eve didn't come up with that on their own. They had to be enticed. But he was using something in them, and that was something that they were looking at this tree all of a sudden and desiring it, right? Because the Bible says Eve looked at it and said it was pleasurable. It was good for food. It looked good. So there was an enticement. The other one is iniquity. This is a result of sin in our heart. It's perverting or twisting our inner nature. As I said, sin is pleasurable for a season. And it was a very short season with Adam and Eve. But the end thereof is what? Death. So any sin that's unrepented of, and that's in our lives. Why does God? Why should we live a sinless life? Why should we operate in that? Even now, today, as believers. Because sin works death in you. Disobedience. Why? It almost says if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat. Pastor Brad was talking about it in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Talks about all these blessings that come upon you. That's the result of obedience. If you're willing and obedient. The other area of, it's just like there's two other areas I was going to talk about too. It's sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins of commission is literally when you go do something you know you're doing is wrong. You just blatantly do it. That's a sin. I committed it. I committed the crime, right? Sins of omission are when God tells you to do something and you don't obey the Lord and don't do what he's called you to do. That's a sin as well. The Bible says anything that's not of faith is also sin. Anybody feeling like they don't meet the mark, measure? That's all right. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. All right. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but the wages of sin is death. When Adam and Eve fell, there was an instant disconnect from the Father spiritually. And God knew that. And I think that's the most important thing when we understand the doctrine of sin and the fall of man. Why is it important? You know, you got people out there, you ever try to witness somebody and he's out there, he's a womanizer and he's drinking and he's partying it up and they're just living it up and they're going to have a party in hell when they get out of here. How do you convince somebody? They're missing out on the greatest relationship they could ever have. They don't know the love of a father, their heavenly father, and they're spiritually separated. Yeah, I heard a preacher say it one time, you got to get people lost before you can ever get them saved. And some people, that's why we're going over these things. And you say it might be just remedial to you, elementary. But some people don't even know how to define sin anymore. That's the problem. Why is that? Because these doctrines haven't been taught. They haven't been. So people say, well, you know, I go to church and I pay my tithe, but I live with my boyfriend. And God knows our hearts. So he's okay with us doing our thing. Is that okay? Does that measure up to what God's words say? So what do? A little twisting of the scripture, and the enemy justifies it, and all of a sudden, it's called fornication. Fornication. It's called sin. And if you don't deal with it, it'll destroy you. And the enemy knows that. Anything in the Bible that speaks of, if we don't walk in the fullness, that's why it's important to identify, even in our own lives, sin. We've all fallen short. But thanks be to God, God provided a way, even for them in the garden. The spiritual covering that clothed mankind was removed. They were naked and ashamed. Naked and ashamed, they covered their sin to hide, and then blame and accusation came. That's you trying to fix it your way. Anybody ever try to cover your sins, cover your tracks? Anybody? Okay. I mean, I have before. Or trying to justify it. Well, you know, if they hadn't have done this. But no, your first thing, again, like I said before, don't run from the Father, run to him. I can say this from experience in my own life, is because the shame that comes upon you is to drive you out of the Father's presence. But conviction, the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. There's something about it when you'll come to the Lord and you'll say, Lord, I've missed it. Even the prodigal, think about the prodigal son. What did he say? He came to the Father and he said, Father, I've sinned against you and against God. There was a conviction that came in his heart. Thank God for conviction. Don't ever ignore that. Don't get to the point where the Lord keeps dealing with you and dealing with you. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman, but yield to that conviction. Be sensitive to that. Be ever so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, even in this hour. Because he's trying to keep you. He's trying to help you walk a Christian life. He's trying to help you to walk in the fullness of who Christ has called you to be, so that you don't go around full of shame and embarrassment. Death now reigns because of one act. Now think of what that did. One person's act, how it affected the whole entire race. That's kind of why I went into the whole intellectual thing, that Adam wasn't a... They messed up. But a lot of people say, when I get to heaven, man, I'm going to tell Adam and Eve a finger for you. Them idiots. No, you'd have probably done the same thing. I probably would have done the same thing. There was a choice, and they made the wrong choice. But because of that, what happened? The fall of man created a curse. It opened up the door to where the whole earth was affected because of that. Can you imagine that? Why? Because they allowed Satan to be a part of it. So what has Satan come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy, right? So that curse was released in the earth. That's where it started, back in the garden. It's why we steal the earth. Adam and Eve never aged. They never got old. There was no briars and thistles on the earth. There was nothing that was diminished or nothing that was dying or aged. Everything was good, the Bible says, when God created it. But that curse, that disobedience, that mankind, why? Because he was the one in charge. He had dominion. And because he willfully disobeyed God, willfully opened up that door, and sin entered in, a curse was released over the whole entire earth. And what does the Bible say? I love it, because in the New Testament it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So disobedience to the law releases a curse. That's what I was talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that Pastor Brad was ministering. Blessing, all these blessings shall come upon you. When you're disobedient, all these curses shall come upon you. So you dictate that by your obedience or disobedience in your life. All right, let's get to the good part. God's plan for man. First of all, remember this. I said it a while ago, but I'm going to repeat it because it's awesome. God's plan for mankind, this didn't take him by surprise. He didn't go, oh my gosh, they really messed up here, and I don't know how we're going to fix it. They broke it. The Bible says from the foundations of the earth. So that means the Father And the Word and the Holy Spirit got together and says, you know what? We're going to cause it, make a creation. We're going to create this beautiful planet. It is all in the mind of God, the heart of God. We're going to put a garden there, and guess what? They're going to mess up. So the Word, we got a plan here. God sent the Word, gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says Christ was slain from the foundations of the earth. That means before you ever had a sin problem, God had a remedy for it. Amen? That's important to know. God already knows about it. I think sometimes, like I thought, man, if God knew how much I would mess up in my life, why would he ever save me? I have a hard problem with it, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? That's like hiring somebody and saying, knowing ahead of time, I'm going to hire a guy and he's going to do a terrible job on my lawn every week. He's going to miss half the yard, and I'm going to have to pay him. I wouldn't hire him, would you, Justin? But that's the mercy of God and the grace of God. And that's exemplified in here. We see that through the scripture. In Revelation 13:8, it tells us where he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Now, here's what was the remedy for sin. You see a picture of it. God showed him an example, and that example would flow all throughout the Old Testament. You would see the killing of an animal. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen? Even Adam, the Bible says, when Cain killed Abel, Abel's blood cried from the ground for vengeance, right? But the Bible says Christ's blood cries mercy. So you see the full picture of that, that what was lost in sin is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But God showed a picture of that when he took the animal. Adam and Eve said, man, your fashion choice there is. They may even got poison ivy. I don't know, but that would have been pretty bad if they'd have wrapped themselves in poison ivy. But he took an animal, and he killed that animal, and he made skins for them so that they would be clothed and to cover their nakedness. That's a picture of redemption. It's him temporarily taking away their shame. And that's what the Bible says when the priest would go in and offer a sacrifice for the sin of the people. Every year, if you committed sin, you'd have to bring in an animal. And that blood was applied to the altar. It was applied to the mercy seat, which represented mankind's failure and his sin. So that blood, even over our lives, if we were living in the Old Testament, that only lasted a year. And you had to come back next year and get you another sacrifice. But there was a lamb that was prepared. Amen? Amen? And I think of in the garden, I thought about this today. I said, you know, even when you think about Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That tree of life, I believe, was a picture of Christ. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the worldly way. And that's when he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Even in the garden, it's amazing when you study the Word of God and you see the picture of what God has just unfolded all through the Bible. You'll see how he gave you, they're called, even times there's epiphanies of what they, a picture of Christ or even a manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament. As the Bible says, Christ was that rock in the wilderness that followed Moses around. And as we're talking about sacrifice, what happened? God told Moses one time, take the rod and smite the rock, right? Well, that represented Christ being crucified one time. He wasn't to be hitting any. He wasn't supposed to be smitten, but one time. So the second time, he told him to speak to the rock. What did he do? He started beating on a rock. See how God was? He was showing a picture of the redemption of man. How Christ would pay the final price. His blood shed. Hallelujah! The blood of Christ making us whole, redeeming mankind back to himself. Amen. What a picture that is. And that's awesome. I mean, that's clear in the Old Testament. But it's practical and applicable to our daily lives today. That was his plan of redemption. So God killed the animal. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, you don't have to turn there, but it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Christ not only came to deal with our sin, now listen to this part, but he also became the embodiment of sin. What does that mean? He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So what we were intended to be in the garden, what God started out, man was perfect. There wasn't nothing, there was no flaw in him. That's where we're going to finish out one day. Hallelujah. I think about that, Pastor Brad. One day we're going to walk those streets of gold. We're going over to that tree of life, and we're going to eat of that tree of life and live forever in the glory of God. What a marvelous story. What a marvelous picture of redemption. I said, this didn't take God off guard. He wasn't surprised, but he had a wonderful plan of salvation and to bring us in. Now, what is salvation? Why do people need to be saved? If God already had this plan and made it out, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then I think of what God said to Adam and Eve, Amanda. When he was in the garden, he said, Adam, where are you? And again, I said, it wasn't because he didn't know where he was. He wanted Adam to recognize where he was at. That's the first place of returning and being restored back to God, is understanding from whence thou art fallen, right? And that's why it's called the fall of man. We were seated up here, far above, where he's seated with who? Christ in heavenly places. That's where God's intention is for us, not far beneath that. God's called us to live at that high place, and you get a revelation of that when you see this. That fall of man caused man to drop far below. He was the first Adam, is what they call him, but the last Adam that came. He came to show us that live a sinless, spotless life. But when I say that he didn't just die for our sins, he became our sins. Everything you've ever done, every sin that's ever been committed, and that's important because Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. There's no salvation in any other name, and that's important in doctrinally what we believe. If you're of other faith, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. But as a Christian, it's important. Brother Larry, when they go, well, Brother Larry, don't you think them precious brothers, Muslim brothers, are going to heaven? I don't believe that way. That's not what my Bible teaches. There is salvation, but in one name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When God took those skins of those animals and put it, he was showing mankind, I'm going to send a sacrifice one day, hallelujah, that's going to cover you once and for all, that's going to annihilate every work of the devil, hallelujah. We don't understand the life of Christ. We don't understand what his life on the inside of us and who he's made us to be. When you understand that scripture, like I said, I'm trying to paint a picture of what it was like in the garden, but it's far better now. It's far greater. I'm not waiting, Brother Larry, to be seated with it in heaven. I'm seated right now. I have authority. You need to know that as a believer. Why do I have authority? Because he's restored us. He took away the curse. He took away the accusations. The Bible says everything, accusation, all the everything that was against us, he nailed them to his cross. It says he made an open show of the enemy. That same enemy that twisted and perverted the truth of God's word to get mankind to fall, now he hath triumphed. What did he say? He'll bruise your heel, but you'll crush his head. Hallelujah. We need to understand that we're victorious in Christ. That's why it's important to know these doctrines and what God has done in us. Now, to understand the plan, let's turn over to go to Colossians real quick. I won't be much longer. Is this good? Are you guys getting anything? If not, I apologize. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I like this. I'm going to read this whole passage here. Go Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And not anything was made by him. So it took the power, the word of God in the beginning that created everything. And that's what this Colossians is speaking of. It says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things and in all things. Hallelujah. And in him all things hold together. The Bible says the earth and the stars and the rotations are held by the power of his word. That's awesome. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him, listen to this part, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Hallelujah. Without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. That's showing you the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation. The word for salvation is sozo, and I like that word because it's all-inclusive. What does that mean? It means it doesn't just cover saved from hell. It covers healed in my body. It covers restored in my bank account. Amen? He didn't come just to make you half whole. He didn't come to say you just limp on your way to heaven. He came to make you completely whole. And that's what salvation means. Not just for the sweet by and by, but for right now. Sozo is a lifestyle. You can walk in the fullness of what Christ did at Calvary. Because the Bible says, you ought to quote that scripture every day this year. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. Hallelujah. And that blessing's on my life because who Christ has made me to be. Is that you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Be confident in that. That's what salvation is about. Now, how are we saved? Go to church, right? Pay your tithe, get baptized, get sprinkled when you're that denomination. I go to church, Miss Brenda. My name's on that roll. I've been there for 40 years in the First Baptist Church. Have you ever repented? We call it the ABCs, or the Romans Road to Salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is God selective in who he wants to save? God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That'll help you out when you're soul winning. You just find somebody that's an all and lead them to Christ. Because that's who God's after. Amen? He's willing that none. Just go up to him and say, hey, I don't know what your deal is, brother, but God's not willing that you should perish. And neither am I. I'm going to be a part of this. Amen? That's a good way to look at it when you're trying to win souls to the kingdom. But I call it the ABCs of salvation. First of all, A, acknowledge your sinful state. I said a while ago, you got to get people lost before you can get them saved. If a person never acknowledges, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I do good things. I give to the community and I take care. I feed the homeless. The Bible says, I love what Jesus said. When they even called him good master, he rebuked them. He said, there is none good but God. He said, it's not about what's about being good. And realizing that, again, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've missed the mark. That Hermatio, I've gotten off course. I've missed the mark. I've sinned. And to acknowledge that, first of all, you need to come to the acknowledgement that I need. And once you realize that, you know you need a Savior. Because I can't, there ain't no soap to get that stain out. Amen? I need washed in the precious blood of Jesus. And then second of all, we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you've got to believe, not any other name again. There is no other name given unto men whereby we might be saved. But I believe on the Lord Jesus. I believe in that what he did at Calvary. That's why when we pray that prayer with people, what's the foundation of it? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and on the authority of what Christ has done. In other words, I know that that blood was enough. He'll never have to do it again, Larry. That blood was paid. The price was paid once and for all. Once it was placed on the mercy seat, immediately what happened? The veil was torn in two. Thus signifying the partition between God and man was now ripped wide open. Hallelujah. You get that? Do you see that picture? In other words, that's who I am in Christ. This not only helps you when you think about sin and the fall of man, but it also helps you to see where you came from. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm not a dirty old sinner saved by grace. I've been born again. I'm a new creature. I'm a species that's never existed before. The old man is dead. Hallelujah. I've been covered by his precious blood. And to realize that blood is so important because it's a sinless blood. Jesus didn't commit one sin. He fulfilled the will of the Father perfectly in the earth. What no man could do. And that's why he had to become man. And he was born of flesh and blood. He didn't get a pass. He didn't get out of jail card. He was tempted in all ways, in all points, like as we are, yet he sinned not. That's important. Because why you say it? Because some people say, well, you know, those years, they're not recorded up to the time he was, you know, 12 or when he got the big gap there. We don't know what Jesus was doing. He might have had his years where he was just out sowing his oats. I've heard it all. No, he was a sinless Savior. For this cause was the Son of God manifested, hallelujah, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We understand why Jesus came. We understand that his blood was enough. And that blood applied to my life. That blood covers and cleanses. The Bible says it'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It takes away the stain of sin, hallelujah. Amen? And last of all, it's not just good enough to acknowledge your sin or just good enough to believe on the Lord Jesus. The Bible says without the confession, you have to confess. The Bible says confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. Something powerful about confession. The Bible says we were made in his image, right? When you get back to his image, you're talking right and your confession is right. So he said, whosoever shall deny me before men, I'll deny them before my Father. But whosoever shall confess me before men. That's why it's so important that when salvation comes, it's by confession. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Amen? So it's through confession. Well, I'm just going to pray a silent prayer. No, you confess him as Lord. Confess him as Lord. Confess that you've sinned. Confess that you've fallen short. Acknowledge that your only hope is Jesus Christ. And once you do that, yield yourself and then surrender and confess him before men and before the Father. Then you acknowledge the work of Calvary was for me. Not everybody's going to. Unfortunately, we'll see people that won't confess that name. They won't confess the work of Calvary over their life, so they can't walk in salvation. And here's the best part. The Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So this is past the fall of man, past salvation, and we're walking that life. We're living it out. The Bible says let each man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling, right? So even if you miss it now, again, just thank God for the blood. Thank God for who he's made you to be. We need to walk in the fullness, in the full measure of Christ, as the Bible says. Christ in me, Paul said. I think that's the biggest thing with even dealing with the sin problem. You still have, and I wanted to hit this just a little bit when you're dealing with sin, because if you ever thought this thought, why do I still have thoughts sometimes that come in here, but I'm saved. I love the Lord. Anybody ever have that? Well, why do I just mess up every once in a while? Now, you don't have to. I'm not giving an excuse. Not going, Brother Don said it's okay if I sin every once in a while. Just don't make it a habitual habit. No. The Bible says you can live free and separated from sin. It says sin shall not have dominion over you. But I want to hit just this one area, because what Christ did at Calvary caused our spirit man to be born again, right? A new nature. We're now a child of the Most High God. But you're still dealing with a mind, right? Did anybody get a whitewash on your mind when you got saved? Just forgot everything you were, forgot all about, just knew nothing but King James all the way. No, you still had thoughts probably that were contrary. And there's thoughts that come down. That's why the Bible says if that wasn't true and I'm a loon, then it wouldn't say cast down every thought or every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Why am I saying this? Because we need to know as Christians that the enemy will try to work on your mind. That's why the Bible says be renewed in your mind. How do we do that? By the washing of the water of the word. So as you get the word of God, that's part of sozo. That's part of salvation. That's part of regeneration, being your mind being renewed in the word of God. Now you're walking with a new mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in who? Christ Jesus, the one who conquered it all. And I can overcome, Brother Larry, by the power of his word in my, being penetrated in my mind, meditating on that word, and then acting on that word. Amen? That's how you'll get victory every time. But I wanted to hit that a little bit because people deal. Even Paul said, he said in the word, he said, the thing that I would do, that I do not. And the very thing I would not do, that thing I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Well, Paul was saved. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. It wasn't like this. This joker didn't have it going on. He had it going on. Why is he battling in his mind? He's dealing with that part. He said, I find that in my nature, inside, with my spirit, I serve God. But in my flesh, there is a law. There's an enemy that wars against the law of my mind. So that's what's dealing with putting the flesh under. How do you do that? That's through salvation. That every part of me, God, I want the whole bit. I don't want just my spirit man born again. I want my mind renewed in your word. I want to walk. Why is this important? Because we're going to walk in victory this year. We're not going one step forward and two steps back. We're going to go from faith to faith and from victory to victory. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I just want to encourage you as we're closing tonight, get in the word of God. Saturate yourself with it. Let it just consume your mind. David sat around meditating on the word of God, allowing that word to get into your heart and mind to where you think like God thinks. You talk like God talks. You act like God acts. That's what the word of God is for. And it'll bring a place where the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the part we do. He did the part by the blood. He brought us into salvation. Now he's saying, you take my word and renew your mind. And then the ultimate part is, praise God, when we either go by way of the grave or by the rapture, we're putting on a new body. This body of death, these gray hairs that I can't really keep popping up, I don't know where they're coming from, they're going to turn brown again. This old body is going to be renewed. I'm going to have a restoration. I'm going to have an original body, like he called me to have, that it's going to be eternal body that'll never, never grow old. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Minister Lee Howe, if you want to come. Do you have anything, Pastor?
I just wanted to hit on a scripture. I'm glad you touched on that last point, because it leads right into the scripture that I wanted to share. In James, it really talks about that same concept that Brother Don is referring to, that our spirit man is reborn, but our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions is what has to be renewed. And in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And I want to stop there for a second, because a lot of times we're like, well, I'm not wicked. I didn't murder anybody. But when the Bible talks about wickedness, it's talking about anything that goes against the word of God. So anything in our life that goes against the word of God, our actions, our conduct, anything that we do against the word of God is considered wicked. And so it says to lay aside those things, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness. That means humility, humbleness. We're to receive with meekness the implanted word, the word of God. Why? Because that's what's able to save your souls, it says. I think Ryan's got probably NIV version up, but if you look at the New King James, it says that's what will save your souls, your mind, your will, and emotions. That's what's going to change and transform your mind. So it's the mind that has to be renewed. And the one thing, and then it goes on, it's such a powerful scripture, because then it goes right into you got to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. And so we have to realize that just because where our spirit man is saved doesn't mean that, oh, well, you know, I'm good to go. Like, there's work to do in our lives. We constantly, from the time that we're saved to the time we either go to be with Jesus or go to the grave, we've got to renew our mind. It's a constant thing. Just as Pastor Brad said this morning, we can just even in our environment, doctor talks about how we can go into the world and just by seeing something become defiled. And it can cause thoughts to come into our mind. Pastor Colleen talks about how she was she was driving. That's one thing I love about our pastors. They're so transparent. They don't hide things. She was driving one day and somebody flipped her off. And it just made her mad. And she's like, Lord, just kill him. And then and then she was like, what is wrong with me? And she couldn't figure out why she was so angry after that. And doctor, she said something to the doctor, and doctor's like, it defiled you. And where somebody did an action toward her, but it defiled her. So we can't be naive to the fact that the things that we're exposed to, whether we intended it to happen or not, it causes an effect on our soul. And so we've got to constantly be in a place of receiving cleansing from the Word and His Holy Spirit. So for anybody to say, like Pastor Brad saying this morning, well, I don't have pride. Pride is the very thing that will protect every other wicked thing in your life. Pride defends every other wicked thing and says, I don't have that. I don't have that problem. I don't have that root. I don't have that issue. Pride is the worst evil thing that you can carry, because it will protect every other root. So you have to fight against pride. And if you can't get past the pride, you'll never get any other root out of your life. You'll never get any other issue out of your life. So you've got to drop pride first and foremost before you can even get to anything else. And I just wanted to mention that, because we've got to be in a place, just the example you used, even it made me think about the, why would I hire a guy to cut my lawn if they're only going to do half a job? If I'm going to go look out there and find him sleeping, you know, he's not doing the job right. He leaves, he wants paid, but he didn't do it all. And the amazing thing is, God receives us the way we are, but God looks at things differently. He looks at us and says, I can do something with that person. He doesn't look at us like we look at a person and go, are you going to get the job done? Okay, then I expect you to get done and then I'll pay you. God says, I'm going to take that person, I'm going to mold them, and I'm going to show them how to do this. He's an on-the-job trainer. So that means every day he's with us and he's showing us and convicting us and loving us through things. And that's why it's so important for us to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because that's what he's doing. It's on the job training for you to have a successful Christian life. Every step of the way when he tells us something to do, that's what he's doing. He's training us so that we can be a successful Christian. He's not trying to hold something back from you. He's trying to impart goodness into your life. And so even for that, like we're to run to him. When we feel convicted, then we got to set things right. One thing that we can do to show our maturity level spiritually is how quick we will turn when we're convicted. How quickly do we turn? How quickly do we yield when the Holy Spirit says something to us? How quickly do we respond when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, tells us to do something, tells us to stop? That's a sign of maturity there. So even what you touched on there, that was good. So that's even though a lot of this is knowledge and understanding of what Christ has already done, our part now, because our part's not done. Our part's still going. So we have to recognize what are my tendencies. When I mess up, what are my tendencies? How does pride tend to come out in my life? Because that's what I have to watch. If I see certain things, then I got to make sure that I'm reeling that back in and making sure that I'm not allowing pride to have free reign in my life.
You made me think of something there too, and it was one of the last points on here, was the significance of Christ's resurrection. And the Bible says if we are buried with him, we shall rule and reign with him. We'll be raised to new life. And I thought about even what Pastor Miranda is saying. How do you take a life? The Bible says he that shall save his life, the same shall lose it. But he that shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. What am I saying? That we are buried with Christ. The Bible calls us living sacrifices. Amen? So look at your life that way, like Pastor Miranda is saying. Your flesh should always be putting under. It should always be buried. If you try to save this life, in other words, anything that speaks contrary to God's word, anything in your life that speaks anything that's but what God wants us to be, needs to be buried. And the one thing about it, I can lay my life down, right? I can offer my life as a living sacrifice. That means it no longer has a voice. And that's when the power of the resurrection takes place in our lives. That's when you're raised to new life in Christ. When the old man is put under. That's why we baptize people. What is that symbolic of? It's the old man being put under and the new man coming forth in resurrection power. Isn't that powerful? But that's what God, that's not just for the sweet by and by, that's for now. God wants us to be raised in resurrection power, even in our physical, in our mind. He wants that. Anything that speaks, put it under. There was a penalty years ago that it was wicked, but they would take a person who was condemned and they'd actually strap a dead corpse to their body. And they would carry, I know it's gross, but they would carry that corpse around, and you know what would happen? Angela, that whatever was on that dead body eventually worked on that living body until it consumed both of them. Well, that's a picture of the old man. I'm putting the old man under. Hallelujah. He's not going to have a place. I'm not going to carry around this dead flesh. Be like Weekend at Bernie's, right? Walking around with your flesh. Here's my flesh on. No, he's dead. He no longer has a right in my life. I'm putting him under. Let's stand to our feet. Pastor, you have anything?
As we're closing up tonight, does anybody have a question? And I think this is so important to go through these doctrines for us to comprehend, amen, and to have the knowledge. And this is going to help us as a church, amen. I don't know, just good stuff tonight, good things to chew on, meditate upon. But does anybody have any questions? Anything you'd be like, hey, I heard something that maybe I haven't heard before, or something like that. Anybody in the house? Yeah. I'm going to come to you.
About sins, and somebody told me all sins are the same, but we use those words, I can't pronounce it. We used to talk about sins. I understood what you said. So my question is all sins are the same? Like,
right.
If I kill somebody or somebody steals something, is that the same?
No, there are different levels of sin. I'm glad you asked that. We talked about what sin was, what types of sin, but I've heard that. I'm glad you brought that up because many people says, well, all sin's the same. No, there are certain sins the Bible calls abominations, and the Bible speaks of, I believe, seven abominations of the Lord that are committed. So, no, not all sin is the same. So many people talk about, and you can study the scripture. I can show you scripture where it talks about. It's not all sin will get you a ticket to hell if it's not redeemed and not repented of. So I'll leave it. It doesn't matter if you stole a piece of bubble gum or you killed somebody. All sin end with the same result. However, there are sins that are judged more severely, even on the earth now, that God just calls. There's certain things, like even in our nation, that we've tolerated that it's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And it'll bring quick judgment even in your life if you don't repent of those things. Amen? But yeah, they're not all sin is the same. All sin is like I said, it'll eventually get you to hell if you don't repent of it. So it doesn't matter, because that's why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's not by your good works or your good deeds, but it's by the blood of Jesus. And he cleanses us, what it says, from all unrighteousness. That's the power of the blood. There's no sin that his blood won't cleanse us from. But yeah, there's different levels of sin. So when somebody, I hear people say, well, I'll tell you an example. People say, well, homosexuality is the same as me stealing a piece of gum. No, it's not. It's an abomination. And there are many more. I won't go into them, but I'll let you know the scripture there where it tells you the difference. But what I was speaking of on those sins of commission and omission, those that you commit willingly. I know I shouldn't do this, but I did it. I fell short. I was tempted. I was overcome of temptation, and I don't say you fell into sin. You was a long path there before you finally committed it. And then sins of omission are things that God has asked you to do, and you just were disobedient. Jonah was an example of that, right? Ain't my business. Let Nineveh go to hell. I don't give a rip, right? I'm going on a boat ride, buddy. Well, 3 days later, he's in the belly of a whale, right? So that's sins of omission and commission. Go ahead.
1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. So even in 1 John, there's sin that leads to death and sin that does not lead to death, which is, you know, the same type of thing. Like there are certain sins. You look in Galatians 5:19-21, and it talks about the sins. And even in the Bible, it talks about sins that can lead to hell, or people that will not enter into the kingdom of God if they do certain sins. So those are sins that lead to death, sins that destroy our soul, destroy our spirit man. And then there are things that we can just refuse to do, and it really hurts us more than anything, because the plan of God was for us to do something, you know, but then other people are impacted, like Nineveh, you know, or like if we refuse to answer the call. Terry Savelle Foy says there are people, what is it that, help me out, Minister Meyer. There are people on the other side, waiting on the other side of our obedience, you know, because their lives, some of you in here, you are a result of someone else being obedient to the Lord to minister to you. And then the domino effect just happens on down the line. I could line people up tonight at this altar and say, this person ministered to this person. This person invested in this person. This person did something for this person. And just on down the line. And it's because of that domino effect. Well, that's sadly, yeah, it could be a sin that does not lead to death. But all these lives could be impacted or not impacted because we don't listen. So does it have great effect? Yes, it does. But there are sins that lead to death, and then there are sins that do not. Any other questions? Great question.
And I'm glad you asked that question, because I was sitting there with that question in my heart. Because people say, well, every sin's the same. It's not. It's not. There's sin that will lead to death and will lead you directly straight to hell. So it's, yeah. Any other questions?
Well, as we close tonight, I felt quickened by the Holy Ghost. Let's just gather around the altar. And this is what I want to do. That sin of omission, that's a tough one. But I just want us just to stand before the Lord tonight as we close. And let's repent of any place we've disobeyed the Lord. How many want to start the year off with a fresh slate? How many is willing to go back and do what he told you to do? See, that's how you make it right. That's how you get, you ask the Lord to forgive you. Lord, forgive me where we've missed it, where we were disobedient. If he told you to give that offering, write the check. If he told you to go witness to your neighbor, go witness to your neighbor.
See, this is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.